13. World, the good seed of the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. If therefore tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing. Heavenly Father, we need your help this day as every day. And we ask you, Father, to open your word to our minds. Help us to be clear. I pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give, and I pray you'd open every heart that's here today. And I pray that you would convict those of us that are saved of our responsibility, of the necessity, of the urgency of our work. And I pray if there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All around Halloween, we get a lot of scary movies. Vampires and things coming up from the dead and people who can't die. And man, they put people into fear. I remember Billy when he was little, if he watched a movie like that, he had bad dreams in the night. Other kids too, you know. I remember when I was a kid and you read a funny book or something like that, you know, and you got these superpowers or these people that are unnatural or unreal or science fiction or something like that. That doesn't scare me much. In fact, that's just sort of a joke. I'll tell you what scares me. Hell. Hell scares me. I don't know of anything that I've ever read about, studied about, known anything about that has more of an impression upon me, that brings more fear to my mind, more urgency to what I've done for the last 50 years than the thought of hell. Hell scares me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to preach a little bit on hell. I'm going to teach you what Jesus taught me. Right here. This is not a fairy tale. I know your college professors laugh at it and mock it. Many in the world make fun of it. I know they talk about it as a medieval idea of religion. I want you to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for man's sin, the Son of God, who is love incarnate, taught you more about hell than any of the Old Testament prophets or any other prophet in the New Testament. Nobody taught more about hell than Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. In the end of the world, we're going to gather up all the trash. And we're going to take them out and we're going to put them in a furnace of fire. We do this all the time out where I live. You cut down trees, you take the trash, you put it all in a pile, you cut the good wood up or whatever you're doing with it, whatever, and then you burn the trash down. When it's been as dry as it's been, you're in a burn van, you know, your trash can pile up pretty big. I want to describe it to you. He said, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, I wouldn't mind a little quick death. Boom. I might take 5 minutes of pain and say, that's enough. Okay, just give me the best you got, 5 minutes, and let me go. Wailing and gnashing of teeth doesn't sound good to me. It didn't sound good to me when I thought it was my future. It didn't sound good to me when I first started preaching, when I knew it was the future of those I was preaching to. Good religious people. Wicked people. People. People with feelings. People that could sense pain. I'm going to describe hell to you today. Right here in the book of Matthew, turn if you will to another verse, chapter 25 and verse 41. This is not a new revelation, but it's something we need to be reminded of every so often. I just realized I hadn't preached it in a long time. Oh, I've mentioned it. I don't guess I get up a day that I don't think about somebody going to hell. There are an awful lot of people in this world that aren't saved. The great majority of this world is not saved. You know what the future of this world is? Not heaven. I don't care what the preacher says at the funeral. I don't care what the friends say about you when you die. I don't care about the obituaries that they write bragging on all your good. If you don't get born again, if you don't get saved, if you don't take Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to hell. And Jesus Christ is describing it. It is not a figment of somebody's imagination. It is not medieval torture. It is not comic book status or science fiction movies. This is the Word of the living God. When He describes it in chapter 25, verse 41, listen to what He says about it now. Then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, now we know what hell was prepared for. You want to go be with the devil and his angels forever? In everlasting fire? Most of the fires I've started, they last for a while. Sometimes I get impatient and go get the hose and try to put them out. Because I don't want to sit there any longer trying not to burn up the neighborhood or the county. This is everlasting fire. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And look at verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous and the life eternal. We have not only everlasting fire, but it says it's everlasting punishment. Now, I've been preaching the gospel 51 years. A little better. I have spent that 50 years talking to people in their homes, on the street, on the telephone. I've heard a lot of people's ideas about hell. But you see, your idea means absolutely nothing to me. I don't care what you think. You know whose idea I think is valuable? This book right here. I am a Bible preacher. I make no apology for it. In fact, I brag on it. I feel sorry for it if you have a preacher that isn't a Bible preacher. My Bible, the Word of the living God, this thing that my Bible says will never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Says hell is a place of everlasting punishment. Everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. Now go to the book of Mark, verse 42. Chapter 9, I'm sorry. First mistake I ever made. chapter 9, Mark chapter 9, verse 42. This is still Jesus talking. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now Jesus said, and don't go out and cut your arm off today, please. I thank you, brother, but appreciate it. Don't go out and cut your arm off today. Don't go out and cut your leg off today. Just quit whatever it is you need to quit. But he's using an example, a drastic example, that it's better for you to change whatever you need to change and not go to hell. Because he said, the fire shall not be quenched where their worm dieth not. Now, there are some people that say that hell is just a dream. There are others say that hell is just a dream. Not so. Not so. I'm going to go to here several places. But in any of these places, could this hell be just a dream? Doesn't make any sense to me. It's not reasonable. It's not what he's talking about. Then he says in verse 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And then at the end of verse 47, to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Maybe a fire that took place for just a little while. Fire, like an explosion in a car. Something that's burned up something. And it's up and it's gone and in 5 minutes or an hour. How about a year? It's not an hour. It's not a year. It's not a lifetime. It's eternal fire. Everlasting fire that shall not be quenched. It's beyond my mind. The most horrible thing that I can think about. Nothing in my mind has ever come close to this one thought. And thinking about this made me repent of my sins. Oh, I enjoyed sin. You know what? I didn't want to go to hell for my sin. And I do believe what the Bible says about it. I think you ought to too. This is Jesus. This is not Elijah. This isn't John the Baptist. This isn't Peter. This isn't some other nut somewhere, some science fiction like Isaac Asimov or somebody like that. This is Jesus Christ. This wasn't written in medieval times. It was written about his lifetime. These are his words. He says it over and over again. The fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, that spark of existence within you called a worm, it doesn't extinguish. Oh, it blows my mind. I know of no tougher subject in this book, or in life itself, for me. This is it. Verse 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48, be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You want some more descriptions of it? Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. What is this hellfire? Where in the world did it come from? Well, it's pretty clear right here in chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. This is the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. There's nothing to soften it. There's nothing to dilute it. There's nothing to make it easy. We have a holy God who has proven His love. In Christ Jesus is the proof of the love of God. But we have a holy God that is holy. He is righteous. He despises sin. And He's not as soft as some of the judges of our land, as some of the parents of our modern generation. He is the absolute King of the universe. And He is going to remove that which offends Him completely. And so it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of His indignation. His indignation. Have you ever really got indignant at somebody? Oh, I have. Have someone just throw it in your face. You don't deserve it, and they didn't have the right. Well, what about with God? He certainly doesn't deserve it, and you don't have the right. The wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation, and He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Who worship the beast in His image and who receive the mark of His name. Put another verse. Book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 20. You get the picture of hell? And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Look at chapter 20 and verse 10. 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. They still are. 1,000 years later, they're still there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's not my comic book imagination. That is not a Hollywood scene. That's the simple truth of the Word of God. Now turn back to Luke chapter 16. And look at verse 22. The last part of verse 22 where it says the rich man. Luke 16:22. The rich man also died and was buried. We got our modern scholars coming out of the cemetery and all over the country. That hell is the grave. Hell is the grave. They translate it in your modern Bible. Talk about modern scholarship. Talk about putting your image on the Word of God, what you think about it, your doctrine on the Word of God, Brother Trafflin, as it says. Look at the context of this. He died. The old man died, and he was buried. Now read the next verse. And in hell. Well, we buried him in the grave, and now in hell. In hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. And I'm telling you, I don't like pain. Anything I fear pain. I don't want to go against God. And I sure don't want to spend an eternity where God isn't. In hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus. Did you know that have mercy upon me is a pretty good prayer? People on the cross just said, remember me, and he got saved. This guy prayed that prayer before he died and they put him in the grave, he'd have been saved. He'd have received the mercy of God. But he's one day too late. One day too late. Have mercy upon me and send Lazarus into me to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. I didn't write a scary story. If I could scare you enough to get you saved, I would. The problem is, it doesn't really work that way. You got to get scared enough. I spent 51 years trying to get people saved. Trying to prove to them that the Bible is the Word of God. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That there is mercy with this God. But I want you to know, this is a righteous God will not put up with sin. He's not going to be in heaven. He's going to rid the world of it. And hell is his trash dump. And the problem is you have an existence for eternity. It would be nice if I could tell you that your soul was going to die, your spirit was going to die, and it would just be all over with after you were judged. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're going to exist somewhere forever. Now that blows my mind. I really don't like that. I've never liked that thought. But it's what the Bible teaches, and I'm a Bible believer. By the way, I'm a Bible teacher. A Bible preacher. I don't preach just what I think. I preach what this book says. I've proved I'll change my mind. I've lost money and friends because of changing my mind when I found out what God's Word said and I hadn't seen it. I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember. This guy is still existing. This guy can recognize those around him. This guy has a memory. This guy has feeling. And he's done buried. He's not in the casket in the grave. And he's in hell. And that's not your grave. That's not 6 foot under. And it's not in anybody's kind of casket. He prays for mercy. And he can't get it. He can't get it. You better wake up that this life is your one shot. Come on, you put it on. I remember a man come to church on a regular basis and went to visit a friend of his in the church. He was a pretty good witness. The friend had an 18-year-old son. The friend was a Christian. The son wanted to sow his wild oats. This friend of mine witnessed to him. Tried to get him to get saved. And the 18-year-old said, I'm not really sowing my wild oats. and got on his motorcycle and rode it into an 18-wheeler and died that night, 18 years old. You don't turn down God. If you have any sense at all, if you believe the Bible, you don't turn down God. You don't play foolish with the righteous God who spoke this world into existence. You may give excuses to me or to some other preacher or somebody that's witnessing to you about how your reason for what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And you may tell me, and I've had them tell me, when I get up there with the old man, I don't even know how to do that. You'd be out on your feet. You'd fall flat on your face. You're dead. You think you can speak in the presence of God and He doesn't want you to speak? He's God. You think you're the biggest thing you've ever seen. Maybe you meet God. Look at verse 27. This is one of the greatest missionary prayers that I've ever heard, and it come out of hell. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would ascend into my Father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. Okay? I'm lost forever. I can never make it. At least go to my dad's house. I got five younger brothers following me. Cousin or friend, somebody following you. Amazing how we follow people. We have our little heroes. Maybe your dad, somebody's following you. He said, oh, did I make a mistake? Have mercy. He prays to the Father. A very good prayer. I pray that. Lord, send somebody to that house. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. You know what that is? That's your Bible. In this day, there wasn't a New Testament. In this day, they had Genesis through Malachi. He said, they had Moses and the prophets. And he says, no, that's not enough. But if somebody went to them from the dead, well, let me tell you, somebody come from the dead. I haven't believed him. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. I want you to understand, the Word is sufficient. You don't need anything but the Word. I know we think about miracles, healings, giant things taking place, such as the plagues of Egypt. Do you realize how unbelieving all those Jews were after 10 great plagues in Egypt? Have you read the Old Testament? You read them wandering around the wilderness. They were unbelieving, murmuring, and complaining people. They didn't remember the miracles. They didn't notice the miracles. A miracle didn't prove anything. 10 lepers got healed by Jesus. Just one of them thought about coming back to say thanks. They've been healed of leprosy. Hey, nobody got healed of leprosy. They got healed of leprosy. And only one turned around. And thank God. It's not the miracle that's going to cause you to believe. You're going to have to believe the Word of God. by faith. And faith is not believing in just anything. It's taking God at His Word. If you don't believe this is the Word of God, I'd say you're in a very treacherous position. I'm thankful I at least believed it was the Word of God. He says in verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Turn back to the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Verse 4, and it's Jesus talking. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. After that, have no more that they can do. Well, the truth is, most of us kill the body. Have you ever run? I haven't run from my life. Oh, I have run. Now, I was a fighter when I was a kid. I was a fighter all up through my years. Until I got saved. I got the last fight of my life on the day I was saved, after I was saved. Haven't had one since. Oh, I wanted to a couple of times. But let me tell you what. I had enough sense, and there's about 40 other guys in a gang, to run. And I also learned very young in life, at about 16 years of age, a friend of mine, he was a real knife fighter, and a little wiry guy. Where the gang was waiting for him. They put about 150 stitches in him that night. You know what I learned? If they run, don't chase them. I'm not about to chase anybody. You want to get away from me? Okay. If you can run faster than my 357, go for it. Seriously. Jesus is saying something here. Listen to him. This is Jesus. It's very good advice. I'd advise you to follow it. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. If sheep or the grave is just the grave, what? He says, after that. Worry about that. If that were the end, that'd be all right. And after that, now read the next verse. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. That's God. That's God. Some of you may say, well, now perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love has no fear. You are me. Or worse. And not one of you in this room has got perfect love. Try working on it for just 1 week. The people in your family will drive you out of your mind. And the more problems you find, if you're blessed by God right then, all God has to do is turn off the faucet. And you're going to be crying and complaining and moaning and looking for help and spending every last dime you've got trying to get a little bit of peace. You ought to thank God for the mercy that He's given you, that you have what you have and have the comfort that you have, the blessings that you have. You need to fear God. I fear God. And if you don't fear God, you're not very bright. Just the word God. You know what that means? God! God I'm talking about made all these animals, made all those stars, set that heaven out there. Nobody has found. thing. It's coming. It didn't happen. We're not here because of a big bang, but let me tell you what, my Bible tells me there's a big bang coming. And the elements will melt with a burning heat, and everything that is was going to disappear. This loving God, today. 300,000. I'll guarantee you most of them are not prepared for what they're going to do. There is a way out. There's just one way out. There's a Savior who came and became your sacrifice, your substitute. He died in your place. He gives them all. Come. He says, come. Come unto me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Save her. Saved from probably a divorce. I got saved from probably ruined kids. I got saved from a lot of things. But the first thing was my soul was in need of a Savior because it was on the road to hell because I was a sinner condemned. There is a Savior. And the great gospel story is that Jesus died in your place. And if you will repent of your sins and call upon Christ and ask Him to save you, He will save you. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That thing, him too far. Whatever is on your heart, if you're not right, come down and grab my hand and let me know.